Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, when and where was the first synagogue in Scotland founded? Michael Mail is the founder of the Foundation for Jewish Heritage. He's had a 30-year career in the charity sector, with senior roles in several leading UK-based charities, and sits on the board of several organizations devoted to the preservation of religious culture and heritage. He assists the European Association for the Promotion of Jewish Culture on its Cultural Roots program under the Council of Europe, is a trustee of the Garnet Hill Synagogue Preservation Trust, and sits on the editorial committee of Jewish Renaissance magazine. He's also on the board of the International Council of Monuments and Sites, the International Scientific Committee on Places of Religion and Ritual, and the Governance and Conference Committees of Brussels-based Future for Religious Heritage, and was also the Vice Chair of Jewish Heritage UK. Michael is also an award-winning author with 3 published novels. He wanted to create a project that would recognize and celebrate the story of the Scottish Jewish community, which led to him establishing Tartan Arts and the initiative to carry out a photographic study of contemporary Jewish life in Scotland. He came across documentary photographer Judah Passau's work and immediately realized that Judah had the skill, sensitivity, and artistry to take on this subject and create a truly memorable project. Passau spent 2013 photographing Scotland's Jewish community, traveling across the country and producing a portrait which captures the complexity and diversity of Scottish Jewish life at the beginning of the 21st century. The resulting exhibition, entitled Scots Jews, Identity, Belonging, and the Future, has been touring the world since 2014 and is now at the Centro Sefarad Israel in Madrid, where it can be viewed until June 30th. Michael Mail spoke with us about the history of the Jews in Scotland and the exhibition.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Could you first tell us a little bit about your own background and how you came to be interested in delving into the history of the Jews in Scotland?
Yep, certainly. So, first of all, delighted to be with you. And, you know, as you may detect from my accent, I am Scottish myself. So I grew up in Glasgow. Within the Jewish community there. And I left in sort of late 70s. I spent a year at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And then I spent 2 years at Brandeis University in Boston, where I did a master's in Jewish studies. And since that time, since 1983, I've been working in the Jewish community in London in various capacities to do with Israel and education. I've always had a passion for history and heritage. This was reflected also in the novels that I've written. So I am a novelist. I won what at the time in 1999 was the biggest short story competition in Britain. And that got me into the world of agents. Mm. And I went on to publish 3 novels. And I also I wanted to do something to recognize and celebrate the Scottish Jewish community, given the fact that sadly, as with a lot of small communities, numbers have been dwindling. And also, within the wider Jewish world, it's not a story that many people know about. And this is really what drove me to the idea of a photography exhibition. I wasn't quite clear how to do it, and I came across the work of this award-winning documentary photographer, Judah Passau. Judah is a kind of an American Israeli background, but he lives in London, and I was very impressed with his work, and it gave me the idea that this could be the means that I could record and recognize the Scottish Jewish community. Judah was happy to take on this assignment, and I'm the producer, so I raised the funding to make this happen. And Judith spent about a year coming from London up to Scotland, attending various types of activities. The Jewish community, formerly there are four towns in Scotland that have functioning synagogues. So Glasgow is the biggest community, and Glasgow is the industrial and commercial centre of Scotland. There's a community in Edinburgh, which is the political and legal capital. And there are also synagogues in Dundee and Aberdeen. So Aberdeen represents the most northerly synagogue in Britain. In the past, there were other locations that had synagogues, but that is sadly no longer the case. But of course, there's also many Jews living across the country. And that goes from the Shetland Isles, which is right to the north, the islands on the west of the country. So we found all sorts of very interesting people doing all sorts of very interesting things. And part of the fun of the project was finding people in obscure places that were interested in being recorded. So we got a real breadth of experience in the types of images that Judah was able to capture.
So all of these photographs in the exhibit are of contemporary Jews in Scotland, is that right?
That's right, that's correct. So it's all, contemporary. It's not historic. It's not a historic work.
Let me ask you then about the Jews in Scotland. When did they first arrive, and where did they come from, and how did they end up in Scotland?
There is a certain vagueness as to the first Jews who arrived, but certainly it's a community that's over 200 years old. And the first Jews came to Scotland to study. So Scotland had a number of famous universities. It's particularly famous for its medical studies. And Jews started to come in ones and twos, mainly from Central Europe. So they started to come in the 18th century. Numbers increased in the 19th century. The first synagogue was founded in 1816. So this year we just had the 200th anniversary of the founding of the Edinburgh Hebrew Congregation. And numbers really took off when the great waves of Eastern European migration began from the 1880s. And many more Jews came through Scotland than settled in Scotland, because Glasgow was one of the major port cities for Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. So you actually had large numbers of Jews who were coming through. Some stayed for short periods and then continued on in their journey. And others either always planned to stay in Scotland or just decided to stay. You know, they'd got out of Eastern Europe and they maybe were waiting for a few months. And as can often be the case, you know, once you settle and you get a job, you might be inclined to actually stay where you are rather than going on.
Something I find interesting is that the Jews who arrived in Scotland didn't seem to suffer from the same kind of discrimination that they felt in other parts of Europe. Why was that?
Well, this is something that is very proudly stated by Scottish politicians, that Scotland is the only country in Europe never to have anti-Semitic policies or legal discrimination against Jews, which is quite interesting. Now, I've not kind of researched that, but certainly we know that in most countries of Europe, sadly, certainly in the medieval period, there were expulsions and discrimination and persecution. First of all, in the medieval period, there simply wasn't, there weren't Jews in the country. So I think that's one reason. But also, quite interesting, because at the universities, there was no kind of discriminatory clauses. I mean, this was another reason why Jews were attracted to Scotland, because there was access to study where in other places this was not available to Jews. So there's no history of discrimination. And I would say generally speaking, Scotland is an open and tolerant society. It's quite interesting because, I mean, if we come right to the present day, the Scottish Nationalist Party, you know, generally one thinks of nationalism as exclusive, right-wing. And it's very interesting because nationalism in the Scottish context is that brand of liberal nationalism, which is open, which is engaging. You know, the policies of the SNP has always been, encouraging immigration, for example. And it's very, very interesting. So there's a culture in Scotland that I think is a more open and tolerant one.
You say that the Jews grew to be the largest non-Christian minority in Scotland. Are there many minorities in Scotland? And do you know about what percentage of the population the Jews eventually came to be?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, at its peak, the community was, well, let's say 16,000-17,000. Again, you know, it's always hard because there's a question of the parameters of the community and who you include and who you don't include. But it was never huge. So, you know, if we're talking about, you know, a Scottish population, 5.5 million, it gives you a sense. Mm-hmm. So it's a very small percentage. But interestingly, historically, it was the largest, despite being very small, it was the largest non-Christian community in Scotland for most of its existence. Now, that has changed dramatically in the last, let's say, 30 years. There's a very substantial Muslim population in Scotland. And you've got other population groups. You've got a Sikh community. You've got, a Buddhist community, etc. So there are now many communities and many cultures that are reflected, minority cultures that you will now find in Scotland.
How did the Jewish community develop? I mean, when, you know, from the time that the first Jews arrived, what kind of institutions did they develop? You mentioned the synagogues. What else did they have? Did they have schools?
Yes. Well, that's right. Well, I think, you know, as is true for many communities, that, you know, when they arrive, I mean, first of all, there's a great push towards self-sufficiency because, you know, there's that fear about becoming a burden on society and therefore attracting anti-Semitism and possible persecution. So there's always been that drive within the Jewish community to set up its own institutions to make itself self-sufficient. So you saw quite quickly a number of institutions. So obviously the synagogue is important. Of course, the cemetery is also very important. And then you saw other institutions, the old age home. There was an orphanage for many years. There wasn't a daytime. I mean, you had the cheder. So you had Sunday schools or after school classes of Hebrew studies within synagogues. A Jewish primary school was created in the 1960s. Relatively late in the history of the community. So that wasn't a priority in the early days. They were happy to go to state schools and then to have supplementary Jewish education. You also saw a plethora of youth groups growing. Zionism was always very popular. And, you know, the traditional Zionist youth movements of Habonim, of B'nai Akiva, Hanor Hatzioni, etc., they all flourished in Scotland. You also had an interesting youth organization. Originally, it was just boys and men. It was called the Jewish Lads Brigade. And it was a kind of a cadet force that grew up throughout Britain. And part of its agenda was instilling British values. You know, again, this kind of pressure to acculturate and to arrive in a society and to quickly adapt and get on and be accepted.
When was
that? This was at the turn of the 20th century. So We're talking about the early 1900s that this organization was created. And, you know, somebody said, you know, it was to turn kind of Yiddish-speaking kids into, you know, upstanding British citizens, understanding the values of British culture, of fair play and decency, etc., etc. And linked to that was a kind of military discipline of marching and bands. So it's kind of an interesting particular UK phenomenon that was very strong in Scotland as well. And I mean, I actually come from a JLB family. So my late grandfather was the head of JLB in Glasgow, and my mother, who's now 85, was the founder of the women's unit within the JLB. As I mentioned, it was the Jewish Lads Brigade. It was just for boys. Today, it is the JLGB, the Jewish Lads and Girls Brigade. So it expanded out, and actually my mother was a pioneer in creating a JLB for women, for young women, in the early 1950s.
Does it still exist?
Yep. So JLGB still exists. It's actually, you know, very strong. You know, it's about, you know, it arranges camps and you know, a lot of outdoor activities and sports. And yeah, so it has found its own place within the very many youth organisations that exist in the UK and that exist in Scotland. I should also add that you know, there's quite a flourishing of arts projects, and there was a famous theatre company. It was called the Avram Greenbaum Players, and they put on regular performances of plays, often with Jewish themes. And they were very highly regarded. You know, in the 50s and 60s in Scotland and in Glasgow, they were very prominent within the community, and it had a huge following. And, you know, a number of professional actors came out of originally being involved with this theatre group.
Something that you mentioned in an article about language that I thought was very interesting is that you talked about the relationship between Yiddish and Scottish. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little about that, because you also mention a Scottish-Yiddish dialect.
Yes, well, this is something, and funnily enough, actually, I wasn't aware of it myself. It was when I did a little bit more research on the history of the community. And there was also a famous book that was written by an Edinburgh Jewish man that talked about the two worlds. It talked about the two worlds of kind of Scottish identity and Jewish identity, and how one balanced those two identities and integrated these two identities, you know, which was interesting. But one of the things that came out was this thing that apparently there was a kind of integration amongst the first immigrants who arrived. And, you know, one of the things about Scottish or Scots, which is both a kind of pronunciation of English, but also has its own language, its own words. But it's a very guttural sound. You know, there's a lot of chis in Scots. So, for example, you know, loch. And, you know, so the chis sound. Now, of course, in Yiddish, that's also true. So it's also a sort of guttural language. And, you know, the point that I was making about that was that, you know, there are words that I never knew. I mean, you know, I was saying before that there are special words in Scots. So, for example, a miserable day, a rainy, wet, horrible day is called a drich day, right? Now, drich is a lovely word, and but it's the sort of thing where, you know, with certain words that I was hearing growing up, I really didn't know whether they were Scots words or Yiddish words. It took me a while to kind of separate out which was which, because they sounded so similar, which I found, you know, really kind of fascinating.
So then, do most people in Scotland speak Scots, or has it sort of...
Well, I would say, you know, there's a certain awareness of words. I mean, English is the language, but there are, you know, well, I suppose like in a number of parts of Britain, there are particular words that are specific to the town that you would never know. So I'll give you an example. In Glasgow, children are called Wains, right? Mm-hmm. So where are the Wains, right? Now, Wains comes from wee ones run together, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody's talking about the Wains, you know, you wouldn't know what they were talking about. But, you know, they're talking about children. So, you know, you learn, obviously, living in a place, you learn the particular words that reflect where you are, but it's not a separate language in Scotland. In the north, they do speak Gaelic, and that is a separate language. It's a small minority that use that language as their mother tongue. But there is a Gaelic language television station. Hmm. So they're trying to preserve the language. Maybe a bit like in Ireland, where you know there's Gaelic, but the dominant language is English.
But they're not the same Gaelics, I don't think, are they?
I believe they're related. They're related. I mean, interestingly, the only place that has really strongly kept up its Gaelic language is in Wales. Now, in Wales, you know, there are parts of Wales where Gaelic is the predominant language, and, you know, Welsh is taught in school. So, for example, when I went to school in Glasgow, we didn't learn Gaelic. No schools in Glasgow taught Gaelic. Whereas in Wales, all the schools teach Gaelic. You know, it's far more prominent.
Let's get back to the Jews.
We ventured off.
Yeah, well, it's a topic that I find fascinating. You mentioned character traits that are shared by Jews and Scots.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yes. Well, do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, one thing that I don't like is that, you know, there's a stereotype of Scots being a bit mean, by the way.
Mean in our variety of English, meaning tight-fisted, right?
Yeah, that sort of
stingy
thing, which is a stereotype. You know, that had been a stereotype for Jews as well. And that's the sort of caricature that I don't like. But, I think the thing about the Scots is, you know, they're quite an industrious people. And they're quite entrepreneurial. They're great travellers. You know, lots of Scots have emigrated across the globe, you know, in Australia, New Zealand, in Canada, in America, in many parts. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I was in Eastern Europe. I was in Lithuania, and I was in a town, and I was on a walking tour, and we came to a particular neighbourhood, and the guide said, "This is where the Scots lived." And I was completely bowled over. You know, apparently there's a whole kind of Scottish migration around the Baltics and to, you know, to various countries that border the Baltics. So that's, you know, and these are all traits that one could also say about the Jews, you know, entrepreneurial, industrious, also obviously traveling around. And also, you know, the Scots and the Jews, you know, both are quite gregarious and outgoing. And also, and this was something that I talked about, particularly with the Jewish community in Scotland, a little bit bolshy, a little bit. The Scots don't like deferring to authority. They're a proud people, and they're a bit suspicious of authority. See that, and I think that also could be said of the Jews, particularly the Scottish Jews, because. You know, the main centre, London, is where the largest Jewish community of Britain is. The community in London is about 200,000. So it kind of dominates British society. It's certainly the Jewish world. You know, after London, the next sizable community is Manchester, which is about 30,000. So it drops quite dramatically. But, you know, Scotland likes to assert its own independence and... it has its own view on issues that arise. And that is true in the national context. Now, of course, this is a time when Scottish nationalism is very much to the fore and in the news. Again, an assertion of Scottish distinctiveness and separateness from the rest of Britain. And there's a certain echo within the Jewish community as well that, despite being small, also likes to have its own opinion on issues and take its own path in tackling whatever matters arise.
We only have a couple of minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we might have left out?
Well, you know, I would just say in talking about the exhibition that, you know, one of the things that I was very keen to portray was, you know, the diversity of the community and the diversity of the lifestyles of the people living in Scotland. You know, proudly, you know, we found Dee, who is a sheep farmer in a place called Loch Gilphead, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere in Scotland. And we met John, who lives in a village called Carboost in the Isle of Skye, and he runs a tea room there. And, you know, we came across some lovely stories. There was a woman, Hilary Franklin, who's a nurse, and she's in Yell in the Shetland Isles, which we reckon she's the most northerly Jewish person in Britain. So we wanted that to come across, the diversity of the community, but also that thing of the twin identities of Scottishness and Jewishness and how that played out. So famously, we have the photograph of the guy outside the synagogue in a kilt, you know, which is the classic Scottish skirt that are worn by men, and with his kippah on his head. And that image is very, you know, emblematic of this idea of being comfortable in both Scottishness and Jewishness. And I think that has been the comfort of Jews living in Scotland, that we have not had to make that choice, that being in Scotland, we've been able to accommodate and to maintain our particular traditions and customs while also fully integrating into Scottish society.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're most welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.